11 years ago today, 11 years ago today, a troubled young man entered a church with an intent to do violence. And he was welcomed with holy hospitality, as I have seen take place here in this church. Maybe you've been in a situation like that where you noticed someone different, and you went out of your way to make them feel at home. Or maybe you were actually the odd one out, and yet you found yourself welcomed warmly. An experience like that can be eye-opening, can reaffirm the goodness of humanity. But when that young man entered that church, there was not an ounce of openness to recognize that holy hospitality. And he did what he came to do. In spite of the warm welcome, he opened fire, killing the Emmanuel Nine at Mother Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina. He had decided that people who look like them were the enemy, rather than working to face the true evils that we all know too well: violence, hunger, addiction, oppression. He looked only at their appearance. He was blinded from seeing the good in them. Oh, what a loss of these nine. Those nine beautiful, welcoming souls were to that community and to our world. A year later, I had the privilege to go with a group of mostly white, middle-class high schoolers in our Lutheran Youth Organization to an AME church in Gettysburg to join that church community in remembering and grieving and worshiping. And again, they welcomed us into their holy grief, an act of courage, no doubt. You might think that they would know better by now to not welcome people like us into their space, that that tragedy would have forced them to exercise caution, suspicion. But instead, these siblings in faith doubled down on who God made them to be. They would not let one violent man change who they were at their depths. And they were ready to make common cause with people who, yes, looked like the one who attacked the Emmanuel Nine. White, Lutheran, young people. But they knew. And we know that there is so much good that we can do when we stand together. When we avoid letting ourselves get distracted by what is merely appearance. You may not be the wealthiest or most powerful. We're not that kind of church. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose, as we heard this evening, David, the youngest and smallest, the dirtiest, in fact, having just come in from watching the sheep. God chose him to lead God's people. God's prophet Samuel was presented first with the firstborn, who had an impressive stature, it says. But the Lord said to Samuel, the Lord, I love that at this point in Scripture, the Lord speaks in words that God's prophets understand. Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And as you probably know, King David did not do it perfectly well. In fact, he made some monumental errors in judgment. But God still used him for good. For God was in David's heart. In fact, none of the kings of the ancient people of Israel were uniformly good, but there were those who tried to be faithful in spite of all of the challenges, in spite of all the temptations, who worked at following the commandments of God and who repented when they were wrong, who worked for the good of all. It is God who knits us together, who knit each one of us together from the inside out, and God's image is imprinted on every one of us. May we see God in one another, of all shades and shapes. And may God send us inspiration every day that we too might extend holy hospitality to look around and see potential collaborators for good, for justice, for the sake of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name.
Amen.